Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers just won a football game. A star emerged at running back, and Christian McCaffrey might be out for a while. I'll break it all down next on my instant reaction. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show, sponsored by the Sleeper app. The 49ers just beat the New York Jets 32-19. I predicted this game would be 23-17. So I sort of kind of got the Jets offense right, but I didn't think the Niners would be this good on offense, particularly without Christian McCaffrey. 90 minutes before the game, we find out that McCaffrey's out. So I revised my prediction to 20-17 49ers. Turns out they were even better without Christian McCaffrey. Now, I'm not going to say that, but the backup running back, Jordan Mason, was the MVP of the game. We'll talk about him, but first we got to talk about Christian McCaffrey. So here's what we learned today. We were told that it was a game time decision. The 49ers slept on it, prayed on it, woke up, let Christian McCaffrey go out there with an open mind and a clear heart. And it just so turned out that he just wasn't ready for the game today. And so at the last minute, the Niners pivoted and gave Jordan Mason the start. And he just happened to be prepared for 28 carries. And he was great. And they won. That's what we were told after the game. Kyle Shanahan said at his post-game press conference, yeah, you know, it's game time decision. We found out today. We told Jordan Mason today. The problem is Jordan Mason, great player, not particularly media trained because the Niners, I guess, didn't think that he would talk. So he was doing an interview after the game on the field because he was the freaking star of the game. And the journalist doing her job, good journalist, said, so when did you find out that you'd be starting? And Jordan Mason, who is officially my favorite player on the team, in the league, maybe of all time, completely unprepared for the question, refreshingly candid and honest, says, probably Friday night. I love Jordan Mason like a family member. Probably Friday night, he says, and just exposes that Kyle Shanahan was lying publicly about the Christian McCaffrey injury. Not Jordan Mason's fault. Kyle's fault. Instead of getting players for you, just don't lie. Because lying's not good. And you can get caught lying. And then you got to explain yourself. And then you got some explaining to do. And I don't know how you explain this one. So it seems like, what are the implications of Kyle Shanahan not being truthful about Christian McCaffrey's injury? Like, he's been trying to downplay this for a long time. It's no big deal. It's just a calf. He could play if it was a preseason game. Don't worry about, oh, wait, it's an Achilles too. Oh, is it possible that this is worse than we understand? So it turns out that the Niners knew since Friday night that he wasn't going to be playing. So they privately ruled him out days ago. So what does that mean? Does that mean he's back next week? I would think, if I had to guess, I would think probably not back next week. Short week on the road, on turf. Now the Niners will probably play the game like, oh, we don't know. He looks good. We'll put him out in practice. I don't even think he should go to Minnesota. If the Niners are privately ruling him out days in advance, don't even put him on the plane, because from what I understand, all that flying doesn't help with inflammation. So I think it's probable. Nah, probable is a little strong. Possible that he misses the next game. And then maybe even the game after that, because that'll be on turf as well. And the Niners have to be as cautious as possible. And they seem like they're being as cautious as possible. And they have no reason to rush him back, because they have this other running back, Jordan Mason, who is really freaking good and completely fresh. Came into the season with 83 career carries. 83. He got 28 in this game. So while Christian McCaffrey comes back, it's really impossible to say what the timetable is. Everyone's different. He's 28. When his Achilles hurts, not at all. Absolutely, Christian, you're the starting running back. But until then, sit down. If he's 99% healthy, don't play. 99.5% healthy, don't play. Why play? He should make a full recovery before coming back, because it seems like, from what we know about this injury, he suffered it last on December 31st, the last day of 2023, had all offseason to rest it. I'm sure it was 100% healthy. I'm guessing it was 100% healthy. Re-aggravated it. So don't put him out there until he's healthy. No reason to do it. Jordan Mason, ready to go. Kyle Shanahan, don't lie about these things. You can always say, I'm not talking. What's up, man? How you doing? Of course. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. You're good. You're good. Yeah, man. Sorry about that. I just kind of take the spot. Oh, they did?
Yeah.
All right, for sure. Yeah. Sorry. You're good. What do you think of the game?
Good game,
man. Yeah. Yeah. Jordan Mason. I like watching him. He runs hard. Yeah. Of course, he kind of spilled the beans about Christian McCaffrey after the game. Kyle said they told Christian today, and Jordan said it was a couple days ago, so that Jordan was kind of upset afterward. But I think he'll, be all right. Bounce back.
Yeah, Daniel.
Grant, nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
All right. All right. Well, nice to meet you, man.
I'll see you around.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, good one.
That was Daniel, everyone. Well, he agreed with me on that one. Kind of a bad look from Kyle Shanahan. Guy works here. Just say what happened, or don't say it all, but don't be like, because once you lie about one thing, we told Jordan Mason he'd be starting today. We made this decision about Christian today. Turns out you made the decision about Christian Friday. Now your mind starts going like, okay, well, what else do you lie about? Why are you lying about this? How big is the lie? What did we think we know? What did we take for granted? What's the case? So hopefully it was just a small one, and Christian's fine, and he'll be back in a couple of weeks or a couple of days. But I'm guessing that this is worse than the Niners have let on. And thank goodness for Jordan Mason, because the Niners wouldn't have won this game without him. Redeem Medrascal, I don't know, says, Grant, why did Mason have a bad attitude in the press conference that was uncalled for? Ironic how the less paid wide receiver did better than the $30 million wide receiver, shaking my head. I was not in that press conference. I was in the locker room interviewing Kittle about Jordan Mason. Mason snuck off. No one said anything, and so I missed it. But I heard what happened, and I understand why he was upset, because he kind of got, I don't know, someone should have prepared him. Isn't it someone's job to prepare him for that? The Ryan G. Hensley Show says Jordan Mason, period, $20. I second that. No more needed to be said. This guy, who's just put a bunch of consonants in a row, GLXSKY, I don't know, Galaxy Sky says, can we please get a Fernando? Fernando. For you, I did it. Poo for you says, my first super chat ever is to say Grant was right. Play Mason. Yeah, I've been saying it for 2 years. Juan Neri says, is Purdy the real deal? Not all the Avengers. We're going to talk about Purdy. Zach Rivero says, did this team tonight look better than last year, week one? Would you describe today as a statement win? It's just bad. Also, can you give my buddy Fernando a Fernando? I just gave Fernando a Fernando. Hey, he's a Jets fan and was sad leaving Levi's tonight. All right, this question I think is probably the question. So let's linger on it instead of just going player by player as I was going to do. I'll read it again. Bro, $20 asks, did this team tonight look better than last year, week one? No, absolutely. Last year, week one, the Niners smoked a Steelers team that ended up being pretty good. Made them terrible. Did it in Pittsburgh. Brandon Ayuk was great. Brock Purdy was, great. His numbers were great. Christian McCaffrey was healthy. Drake Jackson had three sacks. The Niners offense was kind of unstoppable. And, Kenny Pickett. But the Niners offense was really good in that game. Tonight, Christian McCaffrey's hurt. Deebo Samuel had his moments. Brandon Ayuk was not good. I thought they looked better last year, especially offensively. Defensively, Niners looked pretty good tonight. Run defense was good. Would you describe today as a statement win or were the Jets just bad? It was a statement win in the sense that the Niners proved to themselves that they could win without McCaffrey. Haven't done that in a long time. But the Jets looked bad. Frankly, they looked bad on offense. That was predictable. Aaron Rodgers is completely washed, and that offensive coordinator is the worst offensive coordinator in football. But they looked bad on defense, too. They couldn't stop the run. And Robert Saleh, who I really like, looked kind of detached on the sideline, which is not a Robert Saleh I'm used to. I mean, he was the energetic guy with the 49ers. He looked like a guy watching a parade come down the street. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, man, but that team looked like they were better last year with Zach Wilson than this year with Aaron Rodgers. I got to feel like it's very discouraging to have Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback of your team now. I mean, he's just so weird and old and out of it. And to be reliant on someone that's that unreliable must be rough on everyone. So that looked like a team that's going nowhere. Not to take anything away from the Niners. The Niners exposed a team that's not much of a team. That's my call. Like the Steelers, say what you want about the Steelers. They're at least a cohesive team in their mediocrity. This was a team that couldn't even achieve mediocre tonight on offense, on defense, on special teams. Good question, man. Gotta say, Nathan Reyes, was that trick play or a purr dog? Yes, it was. Mason is him. That's it. That was lame calling that trick play on 3rd and 5. Man, your team is too good for that. Why are you doing that? Kevin A says, love you, Grant. Never miss your game recap. You were right about Jordan Mason for years. Yeah. He's finally getting the chance to shine. I kind of feel like the Niners kept Jordan Mason under wraps mostly because I was pushing them to play him, and Kyle Shanahan likes to do the opposite of what I tell him. And so I should have been using reverse psychology, but I didn't think of that. And the only reason Jordan Mason got an opportunity is because both Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell literally got injured. Otherwise, they never would have played him. Can we just acknowledge that Jordan Mason never, ever, ever would have played for this team if there hadn't been multiple injuries, and they would have kept making reasons. And I'm sure Bobby Turner, one of the greats of all time, had plenty of reasons. But dude. If a guy can do this, you got to get him on the field. I'm just saying. The Niners are thorough, though, and I'm sure he's improved because of their thoroughness. Joseph Stockbridge says Belichick was on with Peyton and Eli thinking of how bleak his stance is with Jed after this game. Jordan Mason is my new favorite player, and the run D was way better than expected. That's true. Joseph Stockbridge, Belichick is not the most exciting person. I wonder if he's going to get back in the league. Cody says felt bad for JP during the post game interview. I got to see that. Should have gave Jordan Mason the ball on 4th and 1, says Nathan Flores. Okay. Let's talk about Jordan Mason. The Niners really didn't feel comfortable playing him much the last 2 years. even though he's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. When they did put him on the field and hand him the ball, he looked like this. He didn't, I mean, did he improve? Maybe he became more mature and professional, and he could he does better on the written exams. But in terms of running the ball, which is his primary job, he's been really freaking good, I guess, since college. Certainly since rookie minicamp. I mean, since the first day I saw him practice, he looked a little bit different in how hard he ran, even in non-tackling contact practices. He seemed like no one really wanted to make contact with him. Seems like he's delivering blows, not getting hit. And you see that in college from running backs sometimes, like guys who really seem like they make defensive players make business decisions every play. I don't want to tackle that guy. It hurts. You don't see that very much in the NFL. Usually safeties, linebackers, those guys, like, they're the ones delivering the pain. But no, it's Jordan Mason. You could tell pretty early on the Jets had no idea who he was, weren't prepared for that level of violence and power, and were tapping out in the second quarter. Got a little bit of a second wind at halftime, did okay, but they gave up 147 freaking yards to a guy making a start. What a weapon this guy is. He really, I mean, can't put him back on the bench now. You can't bury him. He's too good. So, yeah, the Niners have the reigning offensive player of the year, and Christian McCaffrey's phenomenal. He's so versatile, and you can do so much with him, and it's hard to take him off the field, but you gotta. He's 28. He's got a calf injury. He's got an Achilles injury. You're trying to make that doesn't rupture. And Jordan Mason's going to be the best thing that happened to Christian McCaffrey's final part of his career. Jordan Mason is going to extend McCaffrey's career, and those two are going to make by far the best running back tandem in the league. And they complement each other. One guy's big and powerful and bruising and great between the tackles, and one guy is good between the tackles but great at everything else. What a combination. I think if Kyle's clever, and I've heard rumor that he is, he might even find a way to get both of them on the field at the same time. Because why the hell not? Because Kyle is the music maker, and he is the dreamer of dreams. And Jordan Mason is the walrus. Cuckoo, ka-choo. That's what I heard, according to sources. Part of me feels like it's kind of silly that he didn't play the last 2 years. But a bigger part of me feels like that doesn't really matter anymore. And the good news is that I feel like every Super Bowl team needs at least a couple of players who make a huge impact on a rookie deal. Because, like, having impact players on their second and third contract, guys making $20, $30, $40 million a year, like, if they're good, you paid for it. They have to be good for what you're paying them. It's only really a story if they're not good, like with Ayuk tonight, and we'll get to him a little bit later. But, like, if Bosa goes for a sack, you paid him $34 million a year, it's kind of like, man, could you get a sack and a half? Like, a sack is good when you're on your rookie deal, but when you're making this much, you almost need more. It's almost like, well, great, you did what you're supposed to. But with a guy on his rookie deal, anytime Brock Purdy doesn't suck, it's like, whoa, what an asset to the 49ers. They got super efficient quarterback play yet again from a guy making no money. Like, what an advantage. You need a few players like that. And the Niners are running out of them. When they went to the Super Bowl in 2019, Jimmy Garoppolo was expensive. D Ford was expensive. But guys on their rookie deals, Nick Bosa, Debo Samuel, Fred Warner. I'm sure there were more. Raheem Mostert was playing for very little money. George Kittle, rookie deal. So, like, most of the team was still young and exceeding their salary. Now all those guys have gotten paid, and the only guys really left on their rookie deal on this team, on defense, it's Lenore, Jair Brown, and Hufanga when he gets back, and on offense it's Aaron Banks, Dominic Pooney, Brock Purdy, and now Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason is, I mean, like, is not just that he's hella good. It's that he's essentially kind of playing for free. So it's just some guy who just walked in off the street and gave him 150 yards on 5 yards of carry. Kind of nice. Didn't have to pay for it. Didn't take up any of your draft capital or salary cap space. He's just hella good. These are the difference makers, and these are the dreamers' dreams. I don't know why I'm thinking about Willy Wonka tonight, but what I do want to say is that the snozzberries still taste like snozzberries at Levi's Stadium. So that bodes well for the Niners' Super Bowl run. Snozzberry factor. Can we do some sleeper picks real quick? Because I want to show you what I did. This was quite remarkable. Let me put up the branding because it's important. But hold on. Let me show you. Wait a second. Completed. One. Wait a second. Yes. Look at this. Look at this. Look. Look what I did. I got all of that right. And the one, they had to avoid the Christian McCaffrey one because he didn't play. So I got six picks right. I put $10 down and won $360. Brock Purdy, more than 6.5 rushing yards. Duh. Obvious. Brees Hall, more than half a rushing touchdown. Of course. George Kittle, 49.5 receiving yards. They never throw to him. Less. Duh. Aaron Rodgers, 1.5 passing touchdowns. Nope. Washed. Garrett Wilson, 68.5. Receiving yards? Nope. Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. Washed. George Pickens, randomly. More than 50.5 receiving yards. Got to throw to someone over there. Figure that one out. I got the answers over here. So just keep that in mind next time you're watching me make picks. Because even though I get them wrong all the time, sometimes I get them right. Thursday night football, let's make some picks. No! On. There's back. Yes. Okay. Tyreek Hill, extra motivated because of what happened before the game. Chip on both shoulders. Thanks to the Miami Police Department, if that was them, I don't know, allegedly. Oh, 98.5 receiving yards for Tyreek Hill. Yeah, but football players get hurt all the time. So I'd rather do the anytime TD because he could knock that out first drive and then sprain an ankle. And I still win. You can't, granted, the sheer violence of this sport. So anytime you're picking the over, you got to really feel good. I mean, you got to know you're taking a risk that the guy's going to stay healthy the whole freaking game. So anytime TD for sure, doing that one. Devon Achane, anytime TD, don't feel real great about that. Oh, we just got, okay, how about Tua Tagovailoa? 269.5 passing yards for Tua. Bills have a good defense, but the Dolphins just pass, and they're at home. But it's Tua. I'm going to put less for now, just because. That's how I feel. Josh Allen, 39.5 rushing yards. I mean, yeah, Miami has no defense, so sure. And then, how about one more? Keon Coleman, anytime TV, TD. No. Khalil Shakir, anytime TV, TD. No. Some guy named Hollins. Nope. Oh, this is easy. Dalton Knox. Absolutely not. Jeff Wilson Jr. Pfft. Sorry. One more. Raheem, Jalen Wada, Devon Achane, no. Boom. Those are my picks. I think those are good picks. I'm not even flexing them. Those are all right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yup. What's the multiplier? Doesn't matter. Boom. There it is. I could potentially win $60 if I get all these right. So keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind that I'm giving away a signed Brandon Ayuk jersey tomorrow. I was kind of hoping he would, like, do better tonight so there'd be, like, more people interested in wearing his jersey. I don't know how many people want to be wearing the the jersey of the $300 million or the guy who makes $330 million a year catching two passes. But he could bounce back. And if you want to get his jersey now when his stock is just a little low, download the Sleeper app, use promo code CONE, and instantly get entered to win a signed Brandon Ayuk jersey. I'm giving it away tomorrow. I'm naming the winner tomorrow, and then I'm getting a Jordan Mason jersey. You already know. And then I'm giving away a Jordan Mason jersey if I can find one. Do those exist? They better. Has he ever signed an autograph? Is there an official Jordan Mason autograph? If so, how many thousands of dollars is it worth? We'll talk about that next week. For now, Brandon Ayuk jersey, giving it away. Download Sleeper app, promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. Boom, you're entered to win. Gonna let that one breathe for a second. Okay, Brandon Ayuk. Big offseason for Brandon Ayuk. You know what I'm saying? He was snubbed on that Netflix show Receiver and wanted to make his own documentary. Really wanted to bring the...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The spotlight to him, and he did. It was all about him this offseason, every day. How does Brandon feel? What is Brandon wearing? What did Brandon eat for breakfast? Did he wash his hands after he went to the bathroom? Did he dap up the coach? Was it a bro hug or was it a reluctant half hug? Well, after all of that, he got $30 million a year plus a whole lot guaranteed. Kyle Shanahan had to burst into the front office as they were trading him to the Steelers. He was in the process of getting traded to the Steelers. Kyle Shanahan said, no. Just like that. He was like, no, bro, don't do that. No, he's not Keanu Reeves. He just stopped it from happening. And then he called five passes for Ayuk tonight, who was clearly not in football shape. And Ayuk caught two of them and dropped one of them. No, he dropped two of them. And the second one he dropped was a perfect freaking dime. One of the best throws Purdy's made, and he's made some really nice throws in his short career. One of the best throws Purdy's made, and it was to Ayuk, and Ayuk was in his breadbasket, and he freaking dropped it, which is like, you know, completely understandable, right? He's been gone. You can't expect a guy to be ready, but it's like, no one cares. You won. You decided to hold out. It was a business tactic. It worked. You got more money than anyone thinks you really probably should have got. So congratulations, man. Now you got to have more than 28 yards in a game and more than two catches. You got to catch more than 40% of your targets. Like, all that was unacceptable. Just sit out if you're not going to be able to produce. That was not good. So we got to see, like, how long is it going to take for Brandon Ayuk to get back? Because he missed everything. And last year when Nick Bosa missed everything, it took him half a season to be Bosa again. Right now, this is not the Brandon Ayuk we are accustomed to seeing. This is some other guy. He didn't just look like sluggish. He looked like he was with the offense. And Kyle Shanahan didn't seem particularly eager to call his number, which makes it seem so obvious why the Niners gave him 30. Why not just trade him to Pittsburgh, man? This is why I was sort of against the whole Brandon Ayuk getting all this money. It's like, they don't throw him the ball that much. They don't. 5 targets in a game for Ayuk? You'd wish you could say that that's so out of the norm, but it's not. Him going up against defense with a couple good corners, he's going to struggle. I think that's the problem with giving out these huge, huge mega contracts. You draw it out. Fans want it to happen. When it happens, fans celebrate. The first time that guy has 28 receiving yards, people are pissed. The honeymoon is over real fast. That's over. Now it's just like, oh my God. Is this what's going to be like for the next 4 years? Did he get paid? And is that the new norm? Because he wasn't even the best. Like, Juwan Jennings was legitimately better than Brandon Ayuk. And what's troubling is that, like, he was also better than Brandon Ayuk in the Super Bowl and the playoffs. He's been better than Brandon Ayuk for all of 2024. Is it too late to trade Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh? I would have traded him, for the record. I also would have played Jordan Mason a lot sooner, and I wouldn't have traded up for a quarterback in 2021, although once they did trade up, I would have taken Kyle Pitts, who's not good, and then I was all in on Trey Lance for years, which isn't really helping my career in any way, shape, or form, but I thought they probably should have given him a chance, but now it's starting to look like they were right about Sam Darnold being better than him, which really doesn't help me either, but it's early. It's early. And Darnold has to play the Niners next week, so I'm not admitting defeat on that one at all. Absolutely not. I do feel like bragging about things I was right about tonight, because it's not often I'm right about things. So Jordan Mason, definitely a win for me. And Brandon Ayuk, every time he has less than 65 yards in a game, I'm going to be in like, excuse me. Didn't someone mention that was a misuse of funds? Now, we'll talk about other players in the team that are vying for some big-time money and how they acquitted themselves. But so far, Brandon Ayuk not looking great after getting all the money. Deebo Samuel, so he's in shape. He showed up for OTAs and minicamp, and he's a captain. And he's a training camp, great shape. He's just the same exact guy he was in the Super Bowl, which is, you know, he's incredible after the catch. His strength and determination to not go down after he's caught the ball is second to none. He has highlight plays every single day. It is so much fun watching him run with the ball in his hands. But he's still not a route runner. Like, they put him in the backfield and put him up against linebackers, and then he lost. It took him 9 targets to get 54 receiving yards. That's not good. And he can't play running back. I'm not sure he ever could play running back, but that whole wide back thing where he did play running back seemed like a brainchild of Mike McDaniel. I think Mike McDaniel is the creative genius. Kyle Shanahan is the guy who sort of ties it all together, and he does that well. But ever since Mike McDaniel left, the Deebo Samuel running plays have gone with him. So those were like 8 carries that didn't need to happen. And he's making too much money. He's too important to this passing game, especially with Brandon Ayuk's rustiness. They need to knock that off. No more Deebo Samuel playing running back. They don't need to do it. He's not good at it. They drafted a freaking running back this year in Isaac Garendo. Use him. You have Jordan Mason. Like, that needs to end. Deebo Samuel as a receiver, though, 9 targets. That also needs to end. He doesn't deserve that. He's not that good. He's a guy who could get 5, 6 if he's having a good game. Like, you know who deserves more targets? Not Brandon. He can earn those slowly. Not Deebo. Those two need less. They're not going to get less because they're making $100 trillion a year. But Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, those guys. How about Jacob Cowing? Juszczyk, Mason. Those guys deserve more. Freaking Juwan Jennings deserves more targets. All he does is catch the ball. When you throw him the ball, he gets open, and then he catches it, and then he makes a guy miss. Or he makes three people drag him down. He's still hungry. Juwan. Juwan Jennings seems to have a great rapport, which is one of those words that football people use, and yet they, you know, they hate French things. But they say rapport. He's got one. With Brock Purdy. Deebo Samuel, force it. Nice to have a guy like that who can go for 75 yards on a screen or shallow cross, but not 9 targets. Those need to be redistributed and not based on salary. This is a meritocracy. And right now, Jennings is earning those targets. Kittle. What the hell does Kittle have to do? Did I not say, speaking of things I was right about, did I not say that the Niners are built to not need to spend all that money on wide receivers? Like, they could literally have traded both Deebo and Ayuk this offseason, had Jennings, Kittle, McCaffrey, Mason, and that's like more than enough. Plus Pearsall, Cowing, and whoever else they wanted to bring in. Like, from what we saw with Deebo tonight, this should be his last season on the team. This is the best of Deebo. He's in the best shape. He's still the same limited guy. He's almost 30. It's enough. No more. And what sucks about the Deebo thing is they just renegotiated his contract the other day. Can we go back to Christian McCaffrey for a second before we talk about Brock Purdy? So Kyle Shanahan said they found out today that he wasn't going to play, but really it turns out that they knew on Friday. So now we got to know, like, how much do they know and when do they know it? This is an injury that McCaffrey suffered in December. Then he got an extension in June. What did the Niners know about? I mean, did Kyle know about the injury in June? Did he extend him anyway? Because they're friends? Because they vacationed together and they would go to... And he was invited to Christian's wedding? Is that why the front office is upset? I mean, if they knew he was dealing with an Achilles injury and they extended him anyway? Yikes. Just a question. I don't know. Brock Purdy. First career start without Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to talk about it in a second, but I do need to get some super chats. I can't neglect you because you are the backbone of the show and the wind beneath my wings. It's a good song. Nathan Flores says, should have given Jordan Mason the ball in the 4th-and-1. I got that one. Sutchin says, Mason TD plus 650. Let's go. What a dog. Grant the goat. No, you the goat. I'm poor. Says Grant reporting Jordan Mason has more rush yards, touchdowns, yards per attempt, receptions in CMC this season. Will Niners regret overpaying CMC? You predicted that. I did just think that, and I think I said it. 808 Niners says, I'm sure front office is happy they extended CMC. We would see. Pimp game Arnold Palmer says, can we get a Garendo for Jordan Mason? Nah, we have to wait for Garendo to do something. We got to wait on the Garendo, but I like where your head's at. Ricardo Viramontes says, wow, one more dominant win. Shanny extension. Oh, yeah, they haven't extended him in like 12 months. Can we get another extension for him, please? Dylan Oliver says, do you think B.A. will be rusty all year because he held out? Because he would have made that catch last year in the end zone, like how Nick and Deebo held out. I don't know. I feel like I've seen Ayuk miss that, drop that pass before from Purdy. I think he'll be rusty for a few weeks, maybe half a season. That's what Nick Bosa was. Jeffrey Franco says, how about Pooney? He's a lot better than I thought. Yeah, how about Pooney? It seems like that was one hell of a freaking draft pick. Good for them. Seriously. Gojira Von Jinx says, we want a Kirkland signed t-shirt from Grant. Oh, you just might get one. Madden Faithful says, Grant, J.P. Mason's jersey isn't even available for sale. What a shame. Also, do you think he sounds like a young man who feels he's been slighted? I don't know. I'll listen. I will find a... I hadn't really thought about his slights and grievances yet. This is a big day for him, but I guess it got tainted at the end. Grant, is this the year? Your honest take. I do not know. It's my honest take. It's week one. They beat the Jets. It's Kyle Shanahan, man. For me to say this is the year, I have to say that I honestly feel Kyle Shanahan has changed, is different. It's been one game. I don't know. Jordan Mason helps. Let's see where they're at in a few months. Good question. Isaac says, week one, and it looked like O-line plays at an all-time low in the NFL. How did we get here? I don't know. It's a good question. I'll look into it. Shyamal Dio donates $1.99. Thank you very much. Brock Purdy. No Christian McCaffrey. You wonder, is this where he shows that he's just a Jimmy Garoppolo with less money and a better story? No, he's still very good. And I keep waiting for the interceptions to creep up. Like, he throws them so consistently in practice that I feel he's gotten lucky. But tonight I thought, with the exception of that one throw, and which he forced down the field to Eric Sobert, which I will never understand. I mean, nice blocker, but what? What? You force the ball 20 yards down the field to Eric Sobert and lead the free safety over and almost get picked? Like, okay, but, you know, does something like that every game. The fact that that was his only moment, and other than that, he was extremely careful and he still was able to make plays while Brandon Ayuk was playing awful and Deebo Samuel was Deebo, I think speaks pretty highly of him. You had Kyle Shanahan obsessively calling plays for Deebo and Brock Purdy finding ways to intermittently get the ball to the fullback or the tight end or the slot receiver. I'm not saying I think he's worth $65 million a year. Got to see a little bit more, but he's a very good quarterback. He's better than Aaron Rodgers. That being said, I feel like Tyrod Taylor might be better than Aaron Rodgers. My God, Aaron Rodgers. I'm so sick of him. Not only is he clearly afraid of contact, which is fair. You're 40 years old, coming off an Achilles tear. So you got no courage anymore. You're not mobile anymore. And you have the worst body language, dude. You're the most immature player on the team, and you're 40 every time something bad happens. You got to turn your head away or do this, or you're on the sideline whispering to someone. Dude, keep it to yourself, dude. No one cares what you think. Your inner monologue is weird. And... not, what is the word? Reliable. It's inane. And I think it's time for him to go away. And I think it's too bad that Robert Saleh hitched his wagon to that turd. Because then you had to bring in Nathaniel Hackett, too. He's even worse. So that's too bad. Seems like Aaron Rodgers' ultimate legacy is he's going to get a bunch of people fired and that the Packers were smart for moving on from him. I mean, Jordan Love is injured right now. You think they wish they had Aaron Rodgers? No. Which brings you back to Purdy. He really still moves very well. That his best throw of the night was the throw to that Ayuk dropped in the end zone. Would have made his numbers a lot better. It's going to be interesting to see what this team will look like if they do pay him, give him an offensive line, and take away some weapons. It might just work. I don't know. It's terrible quarterbacks in this league. Luis Medeiros says, Jake Moody made me forget Robbie Gould. Okay. Great night for Jake Moody. I don't want to come in here and say, you know, but the issue with Jake Moody is confidence under pressure. So far, so good, but we'll see what he does in the playoffs. Aru Illustri has been a member for 28 months. That's a long time. I appreciate you very much. Thank you very much. Nick Sorensen did a great job. Seemed much more like D'Amico Ryans than Steve Wilks. It seemed like Sorensen was at least fix the run defense. Run defense was never an issue under Saleh or D'Amico. It was an issue last year under Steve Wilks, who is a DB coach. Steve Wilks did a great job. I don't want to just dump on Steve Wilks. Steve Wilks did a great job with the like Chavarius Ward improved, had the best season of his career under Steve Wilks. Diamador Lenore had the best season of his career under Steve Wilks. Jair Brown, I think, was probably handpicked by Steve Wilks and became a quality starter as a rookie. So he's a very good DB coach. And coverage was good under him all season, even though it wasn't even disguised very much. Just played well. But in terms of the front, stopping the run, generating pass rush, he didn't seem that good. Sorensen was a DB, has a secondary background, but the combination of him and Brandon Staley, who's a front seven guy, seems to be effective, at least in this game. I was surprised at how easily they shut down Breece Hall. He looks soft. How much harder does Jordan Mason run than Breece Hall? Not even comparison. Breece Hall's fast, but he just looked kind of like he ran smaller than he is, which is not usually a good thing. So give Nick Sorensen credit early on in the game. You could tell on third down, he was just playing like cover two or cover four or whatever. It's some soft zone with the middle of the field wide open, not disguising it. And Aaron Rodgers was like, oh, that's what you're running? Okay, let me change the play, and this is what I'm doing. He was like motioning to – it was like he was just dicing up the Niners' third down defense. I think he converted three of them on a touchdown drive. And then Nick Sorensen adjusted and didn't give that up anymore. So far, so good. Kyle Shanahan often makes the right calls with his coaches. He didn't last year with Steve Wilks, which made me wonder, like, what are you doing now with Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley? But this was a why do I just forget one word? It was encouraging. It's like, why would you forget that word? It's just an easy word. It's an encouraging performance debut from Nick Sorensen. Now, keep in mind, we all knew that Nathaniel Hackett is a freaking joke and the Niners were going to outcoach him. So Sorensen did what we expected, but it was nice to see how he did it, went about it. And I think you got to be encouraged and you got to feel that he's going to find a way to really punk Sam Darnold next week, even though Sam Darnold played well. I mean, are you worried about Sam Darnold? I don't think you are. I don't think Nick Sorensen is. Kyle Shanahan, he won. What else can you say, man? He's a great coach. Won a game. I don't want to – I think I've already made my point about what I thought of his performance. 8 carries for Jordan Mason, and at times I got annoyed that he didn't give him the ball more. Like, there was one drive where Jordan Mason was the whole drive, and then the 2-yard line punching in. I almost took that personal. But otherwise, like, 28 carries for the guy. In retrospect, you could argue, like, hey, maybe use another running back other than Debo. What about Isaac Garendo? I want to yell Garendo. I want to sing it. I want to belt it from the top of my lungs. But I haven't done that. I'm not just going to do it prematurely. It's got to be earned. It's got to feel right. It doesn't feel right yet. It's not right. It's not time. Maybe next week. It's on Kyle. Use Garendo. Use someone else. Now you got to pace Jordan Mason. Now I went from being the guy who said, use him more, to being like, you know what? 28's excessive. Look what happened to the last running back you ran into the ground, man. Use a combination. A rotation, if you will. Kyle. And I say this as a handy member of your quality control team that you don't pay, but you rely on. Honestly, though, I don't know that Garendo is anywhere near as good as Jordan Mason. I don't know about that one. We'll have to see. Patrick Turner Jr. That's it. I don't really want to criticize Kyle. He keeps winning. I'll get Kyle in, what, February? January? For now? Really, really impressed. Hayden. Defense was spectacular. Give us back Huff and Dre, and they may be able to carry. Glad you're back, Grant. Glad you're back, Hayden. The defense was spectacular. The defense was, and I expect they will be again next week against Sam Darnold. Aru Illustri says, was Brandon Staley giving plays to Sorensen like Cyrano to Bergerac? Maybe. Maybe. Does Brandon Staley have a big nose like that too? I don't know. I mean, I do know he doesn't. But maybe he wears a fake one when he's calling plays just to get in the zone, a little Groucho Marx. Maybe that's how he... I'm just kidding. Anyway, the show is over. The Niners won 1-0. Clearly, they're going to win the Super Bowl, as we could all tell from one game in September. I'll see you guys. I would like the Niners, selfishly, to go to the Super Bowl because New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in America, and I haven't been in a while. And I would like to treat myself to a vacation, not even a vacation, but a week in New Orleans in February because it's not too warm at that time of year. It's just the right amount of humidity. You know what I'm saying? Take myself to a Commander's Palace, have some turtle soup. I like turtle soup. Poor turtle, sorry. Also, another thing I like about Commander's Palace, there's like levels of waiters. There's like a head waiter and then sub waiters. So you have a waiter who's in charge of your table and then like a waiter who's just in charge of you. He'll come over and like whisper in your ear like, yo, man, do you want another fork? I'll be like, yeah, you know I want another fork, man. Thank you. He's like, I got you, man. That's just between us, man. I got you with the next fork. You can't do it. That's the best service in the world. In the world, Craig. I'm going home. It's 11:04, and I love you all, and I want you all to have a safe night and a good night's sleep because sleep is really the basis of – because how are you going to have a good day tomorrow without a good night's sleep? Think about it. Think ahead. Tomorrow needs to be better than today. We're just getting started. Good night. Sweet dreams.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.